Welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Barman, and with me is Alicia McGinn, and she won the first ever Venus Index Transformation Contest. Anyone who's listening on iTunes should just jump over and check out Alicia's pictures on the blog. You were the unanimous runaway winner. There was actually no doubt as soon as we saw your pictures. I actually showed your pictures to one person, your before and after, and she kind of just jumped and got like a shiver. And I was like, what happened? She's like, oh my God, that your after pictures were so good. She actually got like a little chill. So that's, I've never seen anyone react like that. So, I guess kudos that this was one of the best transformations I've ever seen. And I'm just glad you're with us. So, for those of you who don't know, I met Alicia in Vegas. So, I've had a lot of time to talk to her. Not as much as I wanted though. So next time, hopefully I get to spend more time with you. So thanks for being on the call. And I don't even know where we're going to start. How did you find us? Let's just start there.
Okay. Well, actually a girlfriend of mine found you first, and she just told me that she'd heard of this Venus Index thing. And, I went and got online and searched you out and found Adonis first. I'm not even sure when she told me that, if you were even up for sale at that point. I don't know what the launch date was. But I found the Adonis, and I was looking for Venus, and I listened to a couple of the podcasts, and I was sold immediately. Instantly, the information that I was receiving was everything that I'd been searching for and everything that I wanted to hear, and I was desperately trying to find the Venus Index. And I think 2 days later, I found it up for sale and just bought it.
Awesome. So did you start as soon as you got it, or like did you kind of, what'd you do?
Well, so I got it in November, and I definitely started consuming all the information you guys had, and I started doing the workouts, but, you know, I would maybe get two in a week or three in a week, and then I would go a week without even hitting any workout, and I started definitely looking at my calories, but I was just kind of, you know, stumbling, you know, trying to find my way. But I was really excited about it and all the information that was there. And the workouts were so intelligently written that, you know, I was just basically getting myself geared up for the competition, even though I didn't even know that that was what I was doing at that time. Because I've taken before pictures for many, many contests that you'd find in fitness magazines or different things, but never followed through with them. So the whole time I never really, up until, I guess, 2 weeks before the contest started, I'd never really thought that I was going to even compete in it. I don't know. I've tried before and never did it. So why
this time?
Well, that's pretty easy. It was all the interviews I listened to. Listening to the past interview winners on the Adonis side just fired me up. It was so inspiring. All those interviews I would listen to Dan's and Mark's and both Jason's and, of course, Richard's. And I'd listen to them over and over and over, and I was so inspired. By the time 2 weeks came up to that contest, I was ready. I was completely ready.
And then then that's interesting you said that, because so you didn't care that it was guys and there wasn't necessarily a girl that's yet to follow, so to speak, or to role model.
Oh, no, I definitely think that even if you don't want to be in a contest, but if you have any desire to change your body, that listening to those interviews is going to be something that's going to be super invaluable to you. And they were like nothing I'd ever heard before. And I have spent 10 years consuming fitness information.
Okay, let's get into that. Give us your history in kind of working out and diet and fitness before arriving at us.
Okay, well, basically, looking back, I think I just spent a lot of time reading about it, but I have probably every gadget, every magazine I've bought, and every gimmick. I have, you know, every DVD set that out of all the programs that you can buy, I've gotten them all. I've played with them a little bit. I've read a ton about different diets. I've followed tons and tons of diets. And I really spent a lot of time reading about it. I'll just have to say it that way. I mean, it was my only hobby. It's the only thing I've ever liked. And I spent all this time reading and trying to find the best diet, the best workout, the best of everything, and never actually took any action.
Like at all, or did you just dabble and then sort of fall?
Oh, yeah, I dabble. Yeah, I definitely, you know, I might get a good month in there, and then I'd fall off for 2 weeks, and then I might get a workout in here, and then maybe not work out there. And I was always really good at maintaining the weight I was at, because we'd always have kind of weekend eating events and weekend things we were doing, and I was very good at maintaining my weight, but I wasn't very good at losing it.
Mm-hmm. Which a lot of people, that's a bit of a that's a trick. They start to now. Did you okay? So some of the similar psychology, a lot guys and girls run into. And let me know if you actually did. You ever start to think you just couldn't, or did you kind of know it was possible but didn't want to put the effort in, or what was your thought on actually changing?
Oh, I definitely knew it was possible, because actually when I turned 30, I made this goal that I was going to be the leanest and, you know, the meanest that I'd ever been as an adult. And I started out on that adventure. I was probably 5-6 months before I turned 30. And I definitely made a transformation there. Not to this extent by any means, but I was also teaching fitness classes at the YMCA, and I was a wellness coach there, and I was spending lots and lots of hours working out. And I I got there, and that was great, but then I switched jobs, and I wasn't working out anymore, and, you know, you just get busy, and mm-hmm. I just spent a lot of time reading about it. I mean,
well, there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to actually do something at some point. Do you think the reading was a detriment? Were you getting into analysis paralysis? Like, you had too many conflicting views, so you just get frozen and don't act on any of them? Or?
Oh, definitely. And I would go with the diets, and I would try to, you know, I ate low carb a lot, but then I'd also try to eat low carb and eat 5 or 6 meals a day, and then I tried to eat low calorie, and I would be eating about 1,000 calories during the day on the week, I mean, during the week, but then the weekends would be way over that. So that's why I was very good at maintaining, but I could never lose. But I was always counting things, and I'd always been counting calories, and I'd always been doing that kind of stuff, but I just never actually cut the weekends out. And I guess I just spent all this time reading about it, basically until I heard Taking Action is Key, that podcast. That podcast, I really think, changed my whole life when it comes to this type of this stuff, which... That was a great podcast, okay. And it really upset me.
Well, hang on. Why? Okay. What do you mean?
Okay, there's two parts in that podcast that really, really spoke to me. And I guess I'm pretty sure you were the one that said it, and you basically said, you know, if you're the person who every single year says, this is going to be the year, this is the year it's going to happen, you know, and, you know, maybe you should just go do something else. Maybe you should do something you're actually good at. And that really made me mad. Because this is the only thing that I like. It's the only thing I like to do or read about, apparently. But it was the only desire I had. And that really, really ticked me off. Because I was like, no, I'm not going to do something else. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it now.
And now was that part of the... And so did you stumble across that one just before the contest? Or at what point did you like, okay, I'm going to do this? Because obviously you took it to the house with the contest. So get it...
I'm pretty sure I stumbled across that one about 2 or 3 weeks before the contest. I mean, it's probably right about that time frame. And I don't even think it hit me like that the first time I listened to it. It was maybe the second time. And actually, I think I PM'd both you and Brad, and I thanked you and told you that, you know, that was a great podcast, and that really spoke to me, and it really upset me, and...
I do remember you saying a podcast upset you, for sure. I remember that.
Yeah. And then you even talked about in that podcast, you know, if you are a hobbyist, you know, if you're one of those people that spends all this time devoted to reading about, you know, fitness, and everyone knows that you're the fitness girl, and everyone that knows me knows that I'm the fitness girl, that, you know, it's kind of embarrassing when you're sitting next to somebody else and they actually, you know, look better than you, or... You know, you don't look any better than they do, but you're the one that's known that that's your thing. And that was incredibly embarrassing once I heard that.
Well, it's interesting because me and Brad Pilon run into this all the time where the people, you know, I don't want to totally go down this road, but that happens a lot. You get the person who's into it who doesn't have the physique to match how into it they are. And then it starts to, like, some people are so into it, you'd think, oh, they must be a national, they must be a pro. And then you're like, oh, not only are they not a pro, they just kind of look like everyone else. So it's like, why would you be so into this? But okay, so that got you going. So walk us through your psychology of the contest then. I know you entered it to win. I know you weren't, it wasn't to just place. I know your goal was winning.
Well, you know, yeah, listening to those interviews and listening to those other guys say that they were going to win and, you know, talking about how confident they were going to win. I knew I have an athletic build and I played sports in high school. I even played some college athletics. And so I already knew that I was capable of doing this. And listening to those guys say that they knew they were going to win and they knew they could do it, I decided that I was doing it too. I mean, I just knew that I was going to do this. And I wasn't very covert about it. I told everyone that would listen, anyone that would ask, and even the people that didn't. You know, I told everyone about the contest, which really, once we got down to the end, I was feeling a little pressure there because everyone that I knew and were asking all the time, you know. But I just told everyone I was going to win. I lived my life to win it. That was what drove me, was the competition. And like I said, I played sports, so I'm already extremely competitive, and I made my plan, and I stuck to it.
Mm-hmm. And did you thrive on that feeling, kind of that pressure you put on yourself by telling everybody?
I don't know if I thrived on it, but I really thrived on the fact that the plan that I put together, based on, you know, all the coaching that through the podcast and all your manuals and everything, I really thrived on the fact that it was working every single day.
All right, so what's the plan?
Every single day. So I started out, let's see, the contest. I only worked out the 3 VI workouts 3 times per week for the first 6 weeks, and I did them all in my living room. Every single one of them in my living room. I never went to the gym once. I made my calorie goal max of 1,000 calories every single day, and I hit it every single day. And every day the weight was coming off. Every day.
And that was motivating, obviously, to see that move so consistently.
Extremely motivating. I took my measurements at 3-week increments, and because I knew that I was going to have to lose weight. I mean, I could have been taking them, you know, every week, but I knew I had weight to lose to get down to them. So I made these big calendars that are on like 11 by 17 sheets of paper. I put them up in my kitchen. They're huge. They're right there. I get out of bed, I see them. Anyone comes over, they see them. And I wrote down how many calories I ate that day and what I weighed in that day and my workout. And they were there for everyone to see, and mostly for me to see. I couldn't hide from it. It wasn't in a journal or, I mean, they're just right there. I knew. Mm-hmm.
And then, now, did you think that was important, like having that sort of in-your-faceness of your progress?
It was extremely important. It was extremely important and motivating and, you know, it was just made you really happy when you could get through it. So I spent the first 6 weeks doing that, and I did throw in an eat, stop, eat day once or twice a week, and I didn't use it, though, for, you know, to bank calories for another day. I just threw that in there, and I basically I said to myself, okay, you're going to do it this way, and you're not going to, you know, have a weekend event, and you're not going to go out to eat and, you know, have the kind of foods you're not supposed to have. You're going to do this until you know you can hit your numbers. But you're doing it until you know you can hit them. And I think the first time that I went out and did anything, you know, ate anything, or was week 5. And let's see, my measurement's right here. And on week 6, I was within a half an inch of all my measurements.
Did you think that the measurement... Okay, so did you continue doing that? Like you said, by week 5, you actually went and sort of had something else to eat, like off the plan, so to speak. Did you continue that, or what did you do?
Yeah, I took my pictures and I took my measurements, and I had lost over 18 pounds by 6 weeks without doing any cardio or anything else. And I knew that now I could kind of settle down a little bit and relax a little bit. I mean, not a lot, but those 6 weeks were a grind. You know, to only have 1,000 calories you're going to eat every day. And actually, I think that it really averaged out to about 800. But, you know, I mean, it's a little exhausting. I mean, it's...
Yeah, of course.
You know, every day you hit that calorie and maybe that your goal, and it may be 6 o'clock, and I like to eat at night. So it was hard. It wasn't necessarily easy, but it was, I was so inspired because it was coming down.
What'd you do? Like, what'd you do on those days where you felt like eating, but you knew you were done for the day? Like, I know you threw something up on the forum once about, like, you needed some help and just looking for suggestions, but in general, did you have, like, a go-to thing? Because, like, everyone deals with this.
Yeah, I would go into the bedroom and shut the door. I would watch TV in there. I would not be in the living room because you could see the kitchen from there.
Oh, really? So it was just you tried to make food out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. But usually it wasn't too bad because I don't eat breakfast and I rarely eat lunch, and I save the majority of my calories for nighttime because I like to eat at night. Mm. And I like to feel full. And I think that was why the 5-6 meals a day or the other things were, I just hated them. They suck so bad because you're trying to eat 200 calories at a time and you never, ever feel satisfied. And I just did not like that. So I like to eat a lot of food at one time, and I chose to eat it at night with my family, and then I always felt satisfied.
Okay, so you, even though you're only going 1,000 calories a day, you tried to get them all almost essentially at once.
Well, from basically the hours of about 3 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I mean, not necessarily what one sitting, but once I got home. You know,
one chunk, yeah.
In those hours is when I would pretty much start eating. So,
right.
And that worked out really well for me, and it works out really well for me now. Works out great for me now. That's the way I like to do it. And now I can have my weekend eating. You know, I stick at the 1,000 calories, and I can have my weekend eating and have a fast day in there. But, sorry, I think I got sidetracked here. So the second 6 weeks, is that what we're going to talk about?
This is fine. But, yeah, it's okay. Let's get to that.
So then I started throwing in Eat Stop Eat Day here, and I started, I would go out to dinner on the weekends, or I would have more food on the weekends, and I would stick to the 1,000 calories so throughout the week, and I was just working on maintenance. And I'd say about week 6, I started throwing in a little extra cardio, nothing major. I think at most I exercised 5 days a week in any of those weeks, and I just followed the program. I just did the 3 workouts a week, and I followed the diet. And, you know, when this contest started, I just hit the ground sprinting.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it sounds like it. And you also, it sounds like you did the whole sprint, treat fat loss as a sprint, so you got it off as fast as possible at the beginning.
Yeah, I did not want to step on that scale one morning and see it go up. I did not want to see that. I knew emotionally for me, I didn't want to see that. I wanted to get it down as quickly as possible.
Right. So you almost coasted into your final picture, so to speak.
Well, yeah, I was pretty, I mean, I was at my measurements or very close to them right at 6 weeks. So then that was more of a kind of a maintenance thing. But I know we talked about this before. I had concerns about leaning on my legs. And so I, you know, kind of concentrated on that. And I actually think that it worked. So that was pretty good. But yeah, I just ate a little bit more towards maintenance. But still eating low during the week and then eating higher on the weekend and getting my workouts in there and, you know, just doing what
did
I had
it feel
to do.
Like, did it feel like less of a grind when you added in a little bit more eating in the second six week?
I don't know. I'm not really sure if it felt like less of a grind. Actually, maintenance is a little tricky too, you know, because you feel like you can eat more and you want to eat more, and you're at a place where you like the way you look and you're very excited, and you start to think to yourself, I think Allie even talked about it, you're like, well, I'm here, I don't want to diet anymore and I don't want to have a fast day anymore, but you still have to. I mean,
maintenance is psychologically tricky because, like you said, you're where you want to be in the mirror. You eat something, and the next day you kind of don't change. Like, it not at least in one day. And then you're like, oh, I still look like that. And then you can trick yourself into thinking you can just eat whatever you want.
Right, and that one day turns into 3 or 4, and you're like, oh, goodness, I better get this back.
Yeah.
So
uh-huh.
I just have to stay consistent during the week and get my workouts in. And then, I mean, now we're in summer. I live in Iowa. The weather's starting to get good. There's barbecuing. You know, there's all kinds of things going on. And I want to have the freedom of my weekends to do whatever I want, to eat as much as I want, or, you know, be able to go any place and not have to worry about it. So that's why I keep it so low during the week still, and I still throw in that Eat Stuff Eat Day. That's definitely crucial.
Yeah. I don't think anyone realizes that maintenance is an active step. It just has to be. There's nothing else to say about it. It's not as much. Okay, so maintenance isn't so much a grind, so to speak, as weight loss, but it's still active.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then, well, I mean, that's basically the contest. Now, what's your plan moving forward?
Well, yeah, I think I will start playing around with the specializations a little bit because I really like them. I think they're kind of fun, and you can push harder, or I can push harder because they're shorter.
Mm.
I feel like I can push harder. Throughout the contest, the workouts for me, and I think I told you this, that it almost kind of got to a cardio. It was almost more of a cardio than a weight burning because dieting is tough and working out is tough, and I felt like I was gassed through a lot of them, but, you know, I just pushed through them, and it's going to be kind of fun now to maybe split them up and do something a little bit shorter and, you know, really push some heavy weights.
Yeah, it is a trick, eh? Being in a caloric deficit and trying to push heavy weights is sometimes just not compatible.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. So then what about, talk to me about the forum, or at least what value did you get out of it? Like, just, I don't know, speak about it.
Well, the forum is extremely valuable to me. I mean, I live in a town where I have only a few friends that live here, and I really had a void in my life, to be quite honest with you, and the forum filled it, and it helped drive me to stay focused. I mean, you can post something about having a rough day eating, or that you're, you know, it's hard and you're hungry, whatever, and literally within 10 minutes you have 10 people posting that are supporting you, and they're telling you, I am fasting today too, or, you know, you can do it, or, you know, they got a funny story, and they just keep you on track. And everyone is so positive, and, I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful place.
Mm-hmm. And so did you, now some other people talked about this. Did you find helping other people also helped you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That was definitely that. Just the whole community is amazing because, you know, you post something and, you know, you have an idea and you try to help someone, and then right underneath you, someone else posts something that helps you while that, you know, everyone has great information, everyone has great ideas, and everyone is very supportive. So it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus. I'm not really sure. Have you been in any other forums, or is this the only one you've ever been a part of?
I've been a part of other forums, but I just kind of dabbled in them, and I definitely think the reason why I dabbled in them is because they're nothing like ours.
I keep hearing that, but I've never been in another women's fitness forum.
Yeah,
so
I just can't believe how active it is. But, you know, we have people from all over the world, so you have all these different time zones. People, I mean, it's just active all the time. People are posting all kinds of wonderful things, and it's just great. It's just great.
Did you have fun at Summit?
Oh, I had a blast.
Yeah. It was pretty good. I'm noticing that people are actually organizing another one without us. So I hope me and Brad get invited. Have you seen this? Like, there's some developments going on that we're unaware of. So anyone who's actually organizing that, we're like sitting by hoping for an invite.
I don't know anything about it.
No. Oh, wait a minute. You're behind all of this, aren't you?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, it was super fun. Actually, after I got home and told my husband all about it, I think he's ready to come to the next one. So we are definitely looking forward to it.
Good, good. My thought right now, it's the idea, maybe a cruise, or at least as another destination besides Vegas. But I guess we can get into that at another time.
Yeah,
What do you think? Is
that
that cruise a good idea?
sounds fun. Yeah, I've never been on a cruise. I've always wanted to, so that sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find other things that are as sort of entertaining as Vegas is without always having to default to Vegas. So that might be something else we can do. all right. So, but that's for another thing. As far as advice, before we get to like your sort of take home points for everyone, do you actually have any key sort of, aha moments, like something where you're like, oh, that totally, besides the hobbyist podcast, was there anything else that sort of a paradigm shift for you anywhere along the line?
Well, honestly, the whole entire program, I mean, everything that you guys have that you're giving us, all the information that's there, the workout, the diet information, cutting through all of the BS about breaking your metabolism, everything that you guys had, all the pieces to the puzzle were there. I mean, I had been searching and searching for all these pieces and trying to put them together on my own. And I mean, that is just, it's exhausting, to be quite honest with you. And everything that you guys said, I mean, you had the podcast, you've got the interviews, the community's there, your workouts are intelligent, and I knew immediately when I saw them that they were going to work. And the diet information, I think, is really, really important. All the stuff about breaking your metabolism that, I mean, when I was doing Atkins and doing all these diets, and I really believed that, or I don't know if I believed it, but it scares you. And while I was going through fast, I would keep shifting back to that, you know. And you had all this information about how, you know, that's just scare tactics and it's not going to happen. And I had to really emotionally, you know, get myself, I guess, ready to accept the fact that that wasn't going to happen. But it definitely is something that had been pounded into me. I actually have a funny story about it, to tell you the truth. So when I go visit my sister, it's 8 weeks into the contest, and I am at all my measurements. I look better than I've ever looked in my adult life, and she's just floored. I mean, completely floored, because I actually didn't see her until the week before the contest started. So I had lost over 20 pounds, and I mean, it was pretty cool to show up there looking like that. And of course, she wants to know about my diet and wants to know what I'm doing, and I tell her that I never eat breakfast, and I tell her that I don't eat lunch very often, you know, and I kind of save all my calories at night, and, you know, she's listening, and so I come home, and then she tells me that she goes out to dinner with another one of her girlfriends who is in amazing shape, and, you know, she asks her, and she basically says the same thing, you know, she kind of tells her that she eats very light, and she does a ton of entertaining on the weekend, and that's when she gets her calories, and she may go a day where she only has an apple that day. And it's really funny because 2 days later I get a text message from her and it says, okay, I haven't eaten breakfast and I haven't eaten lunch. You promised me my metabolism isn't going to crash. And I just had to, I had to laugh and I wrote her back. I'm like, okay, I was there all weekend long. I mean, I'm jumping off the walls. I'm playing with the kids. I'm having a blast. You know you're a good friend. Did it look like either one of us have a broken metabolism? Does it look like we have a broken metabolism? And, you know, I mean, even her, she doesn't consume any fitness information. I mean, she's the complete opposite of me when it comes to this kind of stuff. And even she knew that. I mean, even it had been, she had heard you can break your metabolism. And I think that's an important point that, you know, you don't have to eat by the clock, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to do those things.
Well, I think the other really important point you just brought up is even people who don't go out of their way to consume this stuff and become completely indoctrinated the way we all have been at one point, just the average bystander who doesn't consume this information at all, it's out there so much that they pick it up anyways. Like there's going to be people out there just end up, I mean, who don't go out of their way at all. If you ask them, they're like, hey, what do you think of eating less? They're like, oh yeah, there's something about that's not good for you. Something about metabolism. Like people are just gonna, it's already seeped into, it's a meme, I think, to this point now, a cultural norm for people in North America to automatically default to the assumption that something about purposefully eating less is bad. And that's all they don't, they don't have any reason why they think that, besides that it just sort of is around. And
I completely
and
agree.
So and yeah, and it gets even worse. The more you read about it, the worse it gets. And I mean, I don't need to keep repeating this, but all of that is misinformation and complete scare tactics. It's marketing 101. It's fine. Make people scared that there's something wrong with them, and then sell them the solution to fix what you told them was broken. So it's actually quite irresponsible to actually even use that as a marketing tactic. But whatever, that's for another podcast.
Right. Well, but so, I certainly think that that's a very important take-home point, because I can't imagine that me and her are the only two people in the world that worry about that and think that. And it's just not true. It's just not true.
No, everyone who hasn't gotten to... Everyone who's not an academic in the field and studies it specifically, and not just an academic in any field, but in that field specifically. I mean, I know really highly – I know people who have their PhDs in neuroscience who I had to tell them, oh, yeah, by the way, you can fast. And they're like, oh, yeah, really? Isn't that you know, not good for you? And, you know, you'd think that someone that educated in physiology, at least some form of physiology, could piece it together. Now, there are a lot. Someone like that's a lot easier to train to explain to them, because they do get physiology, but they get just as lost as the average person who doesn't have that kind of background. So it's pretty pervasive.
Right.
So,
I think that the girls that sign up now are the girls that are new in the community. I mean, you just need to immerse yourself into the podcast and the interviews and write into the community and ask the questions that are concerning you, because a lot of this stuff is. That you hear that's being marketed to you, all this fitness crap, that these scare tactics aren't true, and you just need to immerse yourself into the program, and you'll be able to see, though, because there's so many girls that have made a great transformation, not even just the six that are up there. There are so many girls in the community that have already lost, you know, tons of inches and tons of pounds, and there's proof. And you just, you just need to come and get on, and you will. The truth will set you free.
Well, we sort of make the analogy of the red and blue pill in the Matrix, like when Neo's kind of has to make his choice. So that's sort of we liken it to. That's what we kind of do. We don't really necessarily mean for it to be a difficult choice, but it just, for some people, it's tough to let go. Now, do you think that you have to protect yourself from do you feel now at this point, Alicia, do you feel tempted to go back and read other fitness media? Like, I know everyone's tempted to do it. Like, I don't, but do you feel tempted?
Oh, I'm not tempted at all. Everything you read, none of it is saying the same thing. There's just, yeah, I don't care to consume any of it, to be honest with you.
So that's a complete 180 from you, what, like about a year ago?
Oh, it's a complete 180 from me from November.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, not even a year ago from just before our stuff. Well, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, so how quickly did that turn for you? Like, were you...
Very quickly. Very quickly.
Was there some specific point that... Was there something somewhere that did that? Because I know we've had guys... the reason I'm asking, because you took it to the house and you killed it with your transformation. And so I'm trying to figure out who we've had. I'm going to speak a bit about the guys for a moment. They're pretty stubborn, and they always, even after being a part of our community for a while, they'll stray and go find something else. They'll get fat trying to get big. And then they're like, oh yeah, I messed that up. And they come back. And I don't know if there's going to be too many girls that do that, or that are constantly reading other things. So I'm just trying to get a handle on someone like yourself who did so well. At what point did you like completely buy in, or did you still mix and match like at least some of your hobbyist reading? Because you were a huge hobbyist, at least.
Well,
you read a lot about this stuff.
Yeah, I read a ton, and I just I stopped reading all that stuff and I started listening to your podcast. I mean, every single podcast that I listened to, every single one of them made sense to me. Completely made sense to me, And everything that you guys said to me was so obvious, and I just couldn't even believe that I didn't think of it first.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, so it's not even all that. It's not even all that profound.
Oh well, I think it is. We'll just put it that way. I think it is. You know, I listen to podcasts all the time, and I even made a podcast list for the girls in the community of, you know, 30 that I like, and I've listened to many more than that. But there's podcasts that I've listened to the same podcast over and over 3 times in 1 day.
And you still get more out of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is it partly just the motivation of it, like reminding yourself?
Definitely. Definitely. It keeps me on track. It keeps me motivated. It keeps me inspired. I'll pick up on a little piece that maybe in the beginning of the competition didn't really resonate with me, and I didn't, you know, it just didn't touch me. And halfway through the competition, when I'm in a different mindset and my body's changing and I'm changing, then it hit me that I got it.
Oh, you weren't even in a place to even absorb maybe some of the stuff that was coming out.
Right. And I spent so much time already consuming fitness information that this really wasn't a big change for me. I just went from having a magazine or my laptop in front of me to putting the earbuds of my iPod in my ear. I mean, my family for the whole 12 weeks, I would have to say just a second so I could pause it and then I could answer their questions, you know. Yeah. And they were great. My husband was absolutely amazing through this, and I had a 12-year-old who is just super amazing, and they knew that when they walked into that living room and they saw me pulling the weights out, that it is time to get out of the living room. It was mama's hour, and she's about to get to work. And they knew that, and they respected it, and they definitely were always very, you know, positive. And my husband was telling everyone, I couldn't even believe it. I would walk out, I would be at the grocery store and someone would be asking me how the contest was, and I was just like, what are you talking about? But he was telling everyone, and so just those little things were so motivating to me.
So, okay, this is interesting. So who did you recruit? Like, who did you disclose? Obviously, he went and told people that you didn't even tell. So who did you disclose your contest sort of thing, like the fact you were in one, and who'd you recruit I'm really struggling with this. Who did you recruit as your social support besides the community online? Like in your immediate life?
Well, I mean, mostly it was probably the community, but you know, like I said, I don't have a whole lot of friends that live right here, but they all knew, of course, and all of my family knew, and everyone at work knew. And this wasn't anything though that shocked me of them, because they all already thought they all thought I was already doing all this stuff. Like, they thought I was working out, and everyone knows that that's my thing. Only, so it didn't surprise anyone. I didn't have to go covert with it, and no one was shocked by me wanting to do this or whatever. But they were certainly shocked when they saw the before pictures. I even had a girl at the grocery store last weekend tell me that she had absolutely no idea that's what I looked like. She never would have dreamed that was how I looked outside of clothes.
Oh, in the befores.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I had tons of people already tell me that. The whole time, people are like, "Well, you don't need to lose weight. You don't need to do that." And you just have to set your goal, set your mind on your goal, and you can't listen to what others say, and you just have to go for it.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because if you let everyone else influence you, you'll sort of just end up right back where you started.
Right, right. But I think for me, I mean, I definitely think some people will need to be covert if they try to do this, but for me, that kind of inspired me too, you know.
Mm. Well, having everybody on board.
Well, on board or saying that you don't need it, or that, you know, the ones that are like, well, you don't need to do that, that just made me want to do it even more so I could show them in the end, yes, I did, and I did it.
Right. So for your personality, covert's the complete opposite. You needed to basically shout it out to the world, and then that was motivating too.
Right, although now I'll probably become a lot more covert because, you know, now I'll be a little more covert about it because no one wants to hear someone who made their goals or, I don't know, who looks the way maybe they want to look. I'm not really sure how to put this, but no one wants to hear someone, you know, talking about it all the time, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I completely see what you're saying. It's almost like you're just shoving it in their face now.
Right. Which I totally am not. That's not what I mean to do. But I definitely know that now it's time to be a little quiet about it and, you know, graciously say, you know, thank you. And whoever wants to, you know, talk about it though, I've already led a bunch of girls' community into the program, and I get I put my pictures up on Facebook. I get Facebook emails all the time about what's this program, you know, how are you doing it, and so yeah, it's really exciting. Yeah. Everyone's excited. So
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, once you do what you did, now all of a sudden, whether you like it or not, you're a role model now. So now it's just how you choose to deal with anyone who asks. But people will almost forever, as long as you're exposing what you've done, everyone's going to ask. So that's just kind of how it goes. And speaking of that, I want to talk. You and I talked about this already, and you did the best job I've seen yet of taking after pictures. Can you give us? I know you were talking about maybe doing some sort of training. I don't know what, a tutorial for the girls on what you did. Or I know we talked about that in Vegas. Can you give us a couple minutes on what you did? Because you're after.
Certainly.
You did a great job with your afters.
Certainly. Well, to me, I knew the pictures are going to be just as important as the diet and just as important as getting the workouts in, and that I needed to do just as much effort to make them look, you know, good. I wanted them to look good for me. I didn't want to take pictures that weren't going to look good, you know. And so I researched. I read about lighting. I read about the way to make your camera work. I, you know, read all these different, you know, things on how to make the pictures come out the best and how to focus in basically on the person and not the backgrounds. And I read about heel height. I read about heel height for fitness competitors, that they said anything under a 5-inch heel, you don't want, you know. So I went out and bought 5-inch heels. You know, I did everything that I read everything that I could on it. And then I took all these fitness magazines and all these other magazines that were, you know, maybe swimsuits and or different things, and I cut out pictures of poses that I wanted to take, and I made this thunder book, and I cut out pictures of fitness poses, and I cut out pictures of bikini poses, and I had this big old 3-ring binder filled with different poses that I wanted to do, and I recruited a little team. I had a girl that's a freshman in college here. She took the pictures. My sister came over from out of town and helped, and, you know, I got the lighting very close. So actually, if you don't crop the pictures, the lighting's in pictures. So.
Oh yeah, the light's actually visible. Yeah, like the actual the light itself. Yeah.
Yeah, and I had these can lights. I think that's what you call them. But I'd already had these that I'd bought at Lowe's, and they're probably only about $10 a piece. And I had two of them, and I basically just clamped them on to. I took a display board that we had at work. We had two of these, like, display, I'm trying to look for the words here, not a tripod, but it displays a plan set, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like an easel or whatever.
Yeah, we had two of those at work, and so I brought them with me, and we clamped these lights on there, and, you know, we just went to work.
Yeah, and so, and what did you, okay, so let's just continue on with how you took those pictures. What did you do as far as prepping for the final shoot?
Okay, yeah. So
like from a diet standpoint, from diet, tanning, like all that stuff.
Okay. So actually, it's really interesting. 3 days before I took the pictures, my waist was under my VI by 1/4 inch. And then the day that I took my pictures, it was dead on. I did a 24-hour fast. So it was about 8 a.m. on Friday. I took my pictures probably about 10 a.m. on Saturday. And then I also did was it 36 hour, the water load and the water deplete. And and I drank 3 gallons of water the first day and 3 gallons of water the next day and cut my water off Friday night at 8 p.m.
Which was basically 12 hours before picture time.
Right.
And you spent the entire night in the bathroom.
The first night I spent... I probably went to the bathroom 30 or 40 times. I'm not even kidding you. It was so ridiculous. And you know what else is really funny is before I went to bed, I was 8 pounds heavier than I was that morning. So that's how much water.
Oh, I remember you sending me a frantic PM and you were freaking out.
Yeah, I was 8 pounds heavier than I was that morning. But then the next morning, I was 10 pounds less than I was that night. So I actually went to the bathroom 10 pounds worth of water.
Right, and that's what that. And so, for everyone listening, that's the point of the diuretic effect of drinking a lot of water, then cutting it off.
Right.
So then you don't just get rid of the 8 pounds; you get rid of even more.
Right. So then the next night, I think I went to bed at 8 o'clock because I was just freaking out because I hadn't been going to the bathroom as much as I had the first night, and my mind was going crazy. And that night I didn't go quite as often, and I even ended up having a nightmare that I was going to wake up the next morning completely bloated and have to call off the whole shoot, and that, oh my gosh, what have I done? And my face was, you know, blown up the size of a balloon, and so that was quite an experience. But the funny thing about it is at least up to a week after that, I was like, I will never do that again. Oh my goodness, that was just way too much for me. And that's kind of like how the contest is. It's, you know, you think it's so hard going through it, but now I look back on it, and it's almost like it was a dream. I mean, anything that's worth doing is going to be hard, and then once you get it done, you're like, it wasn't that bad. And I kind of feel that way about the water now. I mean, I guess they say that about childbirth, too. You know, it's just...
Well, I'm sure the water depletes significantly easier than childbirth.
Well, I've done both, and I'm going to tell you what, since the water deplete was in more recent memory, it was pretty bad.
Oh, no. So for someone else, what would you say to some of the girls that are going to be entering VT2? Like, would you recommend trying it? What did you think of your look? Do you think it mattered? How did you look like a day, 2 days, 3 days after the photo shoot?
Well, 2 or 3 days after. I went to work on food that night, so three days after the photo shoot, it was probably not very pretty, but... I should have took pictures, I really feel like, 3 days before it, so I could have, you know, really seen, because looking in the mirror and looking at a picture, I'm not really sure how it looked, but, you know, Naomi did the same thing, and now looking at my pictures, I'm not going to count out a water deplete next time, I'll just say that, you know, but I definitely think that you have to be pretty lean for it to matter, right?
Well, we always said that you got to be quite lean for a water deplete to matter at all. So, I mean, there's nothing else to be said about that. But next time around, would you take pictures 2 and 3 days before and hopefully a couple after just to get an idea if the deplete did anything?
I'm definitely going to consider it. Although I don't want to take 3 days worth of pictures.
It's kind of exhausting, eh?
Yeah. Well, definitely with what all I went through to get it, you know, put together and everything that I had planned for my pictures. I mean, we took it was about 3 hours worth of taking pictures.
Yeah, it takes time.
It took a long time. I don't think I could do that 3 days straight in a row, you know, to get all set up and, you know, you have to take all your sample pictures and you're hoping that the lighting looks right. I mean, we had to adjust those lights a million times. My sister is holding one with one hand and, you know, trying to balance the other one so that it's angled off a little bit with the other, you know, with her foot. And, I mean, it was a lot of work.
People don't realize that, but I mean, I think these transformation contests, I never actually thought about it this way, but I like the idea of teaching everyone how to do essentially a cover model shot or a fitness model shot just with, you know, 10, 20 bucks worth of lighting at home. I mean, are you kind of surprised when you saw them? Were you like, oh man, like, were you surprised that you actually produced something that was magazine worthy?
I was super surprised. I mean, because I didn't just, you know, she was taking pictures and we took 300, and it's not like I just went back and looked at the camera every single time. But we'd take about 20, 30, 40 pictures and she'd say, oh my gosh, you got to come look at this. And I'd come over there and I'd look, and the screen's really tiny, so you can't, you know, you don't really know exactly what you look like, but on a tiny screen it looks pretty good. All right, let's shoot some more, you know. Yeah. And then when we were done with it, she pulled them up on her laptop and we were looking at them and she just burned me a CD right there. And yeah, I was pretty shocked. I'm still shocked in some of them. I'm just tickled. Are you kidding me? It's pretty exciting. And I'm really glad that we went through all that effort because now I have them forever.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole point. Now, this is, and I know I've said this in other podcasts, but it bears up repeating. A lot of professional models, at least in fitness, maybe not like, you know, runway modeling or whatever other kinds of modeling there are, but in the fitness game, a lot of pictures you see of models, I mean, of bodybuilders, fitness models, figure models, guys and girls, there's only a few photo shoots they've ever done in their life. And that's the ones you see recycled over and over and over again, like forever. And someone like me in Brad Pilon, we've been in the industry. One of the things we did when we worked for previous supplement companies was review ads. Like the ads that we would produce, and we would review years and years worth of magazine ads. We'd flip through Flex, Muscle and Fitness, Muscular Development, like all of them. And so it got to the point where we recognized every single photo shoot and every bodybuilder and every pose. To the point where if we just saw a guy's arm, just his arm, we could tell just by the shape of his muscle which guy it was. And then it got to the point where like every photo shoot became obvious and each guy's round of photo shoots. And then you realize, and then once you're involved in them, you realize, oh man, these guys compete in one or two shows a year. They get 1,000 or 2,000 pictures done at those shows. And that's it. And if
right.
they stop competing, and if they stop competing after 2 or 3 years, those will forever be the pictures of them, no matter what they actually look like. That's the only video evidence you'll ever have, or audio, or sorry, digital picture of image evidence you'll ever have of what they look like. And so I'm trying to recreate that with everyone. You can have a fitness magazine cover caliber photo shoot with just stuff at home if you want to. And I'm glad that you like took it to the house and took it to that degree. And you didn't use a professional photographer, a professional studio. You just hacked it together at home, and you produced essentially a professional looking photo shoot.
Yeah, and it was a ton of fun. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was hard that day, like I said, 3 hours, but it was super fun, and I had a ton of fun collecting all the shots that I wanted to try to recreate. And I mean, I really enjoyed it just because this is what I really like to do. You know, I just, anything mm-hmm. that has to do with fitness is what I want to do. And so that was really fun.
Well, it's good. Oh no. And I'm glad you're going to share it with everyone, because that's you did it right. So I guess we're getting on to the end here. What do you have, like, what's the advice you'd give to somebody else who wants to try to recreate what you did?
Well, I definitely think that we need to pick up this program. that'd be the first step. And then, you know, get yourself in the community, read through the manuals. And I really think that listening to the interviews, and, you know, hopefully we have some really great ones on the girls' side, but, you know, don't just stop there. Definitely go listen to some of the interview winners over on the guys' side, because if you're thinking that you want to lose weight, or, you know, you're wanting to, but you haven't found that reason yet. You haven't, you know, really decided. I mean, that's what you guys say that all the time. You haven't really decided. I definitely think you're going to find some major inspiration there, and it is going to it's going to help motivate you 100%. And I also think that the eating on a time clock, and, you know, thinking that you have to eat at certain times, and thinking that you have to follow certain diets. I mean, you don't have to do that. You can eat the foods that you like, and all you have to do is figure out what your RMR is, which you guys have that laid right out for us, and eat at it or below it, and, you know, make yourself a calendar. Get a goal date. You definitely have to have a goal. I still have to have a goal right now. I still struggle with, you know, just everyday dieting, just because it's a day and I have to diet. We have a big dinner Friday night, and you know what? I'm focused on that dinner. I want to look good at that dinner, and and I still pick. I mean, I'll even make up something so that I have a goal. Like, BJ and I are going out to lunch on Saturday, and we're going to sit on the patio. You know, I'll make up something if I have to. I have to have a goal. I'm competitive. I have to have a reason. And, you know, if you can get into this program and you get into the community, listen to some of the podcast interviews, they're going to help you find your reason.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be anybody else's. It's got to be yours.
Right. Yeah, yeah, they're going to, and I mean, there's so many people in there that, you know, they'll have reasons that that's why you want to do it. I mean, you may not have thought that was your reason, and you hear them say something that just resonates with you, and that's what you want too. And I mean, that's when I heard Dan Richardson's interview, and he said that, you know, he decided he was going to win, and that, you know, he just knew it, and he told his wife he was going to win. I wanted that. I wanted to do that. I wanted this interview. And I knew that if I could get it, if I focused on the competition, and instead of, you know, focusing on, oh, I have to go work out or I have to diet, I focused on winning and getting what he had. That's what I wanted. And I knew if I did that, then I would actually reach the ultimate goal. I mean, really the only goal that mattered, and that was getting the shape and look of the body I wanted. Mm-hmm. I knew if I focused on winning, that I would have the other goal, and then that's the one you get to live with every day. I mean, that's the beauty of it. That's the best part. You get to live every day being that person. And it's pretty amazing. It's an amazing program. So lucky I found it.
Well, I mean, I don't really there's nothing else to say after that. That's a pretty good way to, I think, end this one. I mean, thanks for being on. Obviously, congratulations for winning. I'm so glad you took it to the house and you did it the way it's supposed to be done. And I'm happy for you. And I'm expecting to see you show up in another contest sometime really soon. So for Alicia McGinn, I'm John Barber, and that's your Venus Index Podcast.